The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner Podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner Podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 14th episode of the Calcio Corner Podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. You can follow my personal Twitter account. It is at Italiano Calcio. You can also follow the Twitter account for this podcast. It is at The Calcio Corner. So we will start off this 14th episode of the podcast by recapping the first round of action from the new Serie A season. Plenty of games to talk about, so let's dive right into it. It all started off with the game between Fiorentina and Torino on Saturday afternoon, which we saw Fiorentina win 1-0 thanks to a goal from Gaetano Castrovilli. A lot of people have high expectations for Castrovilli this season, including myself. He took that number 10 shirt right before the season started, so perhaps putting a little bit more pressure on him. And he scored the goal that gave that gave Fiorentina the win. Only 1-0, but it could have been a little bit worse for Torino. Fiorentina had a few good chances to convert goals, but weren't able to. I thought Federico Chiesa played a great game, and certainly, you know, there's been a lot of rumors whether or not he'll go or stay at the club, and perhaps his price value is dropping, but he kind of put on a performance that would make you lead to believe that Rocco Commisso is correct for demanding the price of which he would like for him, which is obviously well north of about 60 million euro, none of these 40 million euro price tags that are being mentioned. But it was great to see Castrovilli and Chiesa really stand out for Fiorentina. I mean, these are the two bright stars on this club. These are two players that, you know, Rocco Commisso wants to build this club around, and certainly two key pieces for, you know, the Azzurri going future forward for Italy. Torino, I don't know what to say about this club. It's just a club that almost is continuing where they were last season, uninspired performance from them. I know this was their first game with their new coach, Marco Giampaolo, and you want to give him time. Giampaolo has proven that he could be an effective coach in Italy, but just they were lacking something, in my opinion. I've said it before, I feel like Andrea Belotti has kind of outgrown playing at Torino, and he kind of needs to move on to a bigger club to be challenged. He seems like one of those people, like, again, I know I say I'm a teacher a lot on this podcast, but it's like when you have that student that just he or she is just too smart for what you're teaching them. They need to be challenged more to really become more inspired and more excited about learning. So that's how I feel about Belotti. He's just kind of outgrown Torino, and he kind of needs to move on in order to help kind of reinvigorate himself and get himself engaged. So uninspiring performance from Torino. I expect better from them going forward. And again, I do think Giampaolo will be able to work some magic with this club, but really disappointing performance from them. But kudos to Fiorentina. Certainly Castrovilli and Chiesa stood out for me, as I have mentioned. The second game on Saturday was Verona versus Roma, and that ended in a 0-0 draw. You know, if you ask me, well, what was Roma missing in this game? How come they drew against Verona, a side that they should have beaten? It was the ability to score goals, and that's because then Dzeko was on the bench with his pending move to Juventus at the time, which now seems to be off, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But they really were lacking that clinical goal score. They started Mkhitaryan up top almost as like a false nine, and you could tell that the presence of Dzeko was missing. Nothing really too inspiring from Roma. We didn't get Kumbula. He did not make the debut against his former club. But all in all, I think a good result for Verona, a side that lost a lot of key pieces. So for them to earn a point against Roma is certainly something worth celebrating for Juric's side. On Sunday, we saw the early game was Napoli winning 2-0 against Parma. That game really took a change once Victor Osimhen came on. He totally flipped the script in that game, allowing Napoli to score those two goals. I mean, I think it was just minutes after Osimhen came on that Mertens scored for Napoli to give him the lead. And minutes later, it was Lorenzo Insigne, the captain, to double the lead and seal the deal for Napoli. Parma really never, it didn't really look like they were ever going to threaten to take the lead and really threaten to beat Napoli. But at least for the first half, it kind of seemed like Napoli were playing one of those games where it was almost like, oh no, you know, they're going to draw against a side that they should definitely beat. Here they are potentially dropping some key points already. And what they're hoping is a Scudetto race for them. But again, once Osimhen came on, it certainly opened things up for Napoli. After the game, Lorenzo Insigne, he even said, you know, Osimhen reminds me so much of Cavani with his movement, which with his ability to open up space for his teammates. So a lot of pressure, you know, comparing Osimhen to Cavani, who obviously had a great career overall and a great career at Napoli. So, you know, a lot of praise for Osimhen. There's a lot of people that really have high expectations for him. There's a lot of hype when he joined Napoli. There was a lot of hype from all the things you heard out of training in those preseason games. He looked really good. And, you know, he came on for about 30 minutes in this game. He did not get the start, although some people expected him to get the start. He came on for about 30 minutes and he did not disappoint. Once he came on, I mean, he was involved in every goal scoring opportunity, every goal scoring chance that the club had. So really good job for him. Insigne, on top of that goal he scored, he played really, really well. Irving Lozano, who got the start on the right, he definitely stood out as well. He was all over the field for Napoli. He did a great job. Everything Gattuso could ask for, he did for him. So nice to see Lozano doing well in the start that he got. Again, he's kind of replaced Callejon in that front three. We'll see what Gattuso decides to do in the next game. Will he start Osimhen? Will he stick with Lozano? Lozano played good enough to stay in that starting role, but what we saw Osimhen bring to the field just was something that Lozano can't bring in or offer. So we'll see what Gattuso decides to do next week. We saw Genoa beat Crotone 4-1, and I had picked Crotone to be relegated this season, and after watching this game, it all but confirmed that they will be relegated this season. I know it's only one game, but I mean, Genoa were a side that, if you recall last year, struggled so much to score goals. They themselves were almost relegated. And again, they could not score goals last season. And here they were against Crotone. They scored two goals within the opening 10 minutes. I mean, Mattia Destro scored a goal. We did not hear of Mattia Destro at all last season. Pandev, at his age of like 100, he's still scoring goals for Genoa against this side. Zappacosta scored a goal. Piazza scored a goal. I mean, two of the new signings that Genoa literally just brought in, I think, like the day before the season kicked off, both already contributing. So Genoa scoring four goals with three goals coming in the opening like 35 minutes. Again, Crotone, they're going to bleed goals this season. They're going to really struggle. They are in talks with Napoli to acquire Luperto. Again, not a move that's going to like all of a sudden turn them into this wall of a defense, but he should provide some sort of benefit to the defense. But all in all, disappointing game for Crotone. They'll struggle this season. I picked them to go down. They will go down. Genoa won't score four goals against every opponent, but if they're able to score that against Crotone, you just could only imagine what a team like Inter or Napoli or Juve will do against this side when they meet up. On Sunday, we also saw Sassuolo and Cagliari draw 1-1. I'll be honest, I did not see that game, so I really can't comment, but two teams that are hoping to at least be mid-table. Maybe Sassuolo hoping to have an outside shot at challenging for the Europa League if all goes well, and one of those top, you know, seven clubs that we expect to be battling falter. But again, I did not see that game to comment. And then the very highly anticipated game, Juve versus Sampdoria. Everyone was paying attention to Pirlo and his debut as coach, and he certainly surprised a few people with his starting 11. He went with the youngster Frabotta to start on the left wing. Weston McKennie, the American international, he actually started midfield, which was a bit of a surprise. What was no surprise is that Pirlo started a three-man defense. We've kind of heard that that's his formation he wants to go with. And he has Bonucci and Chiellini, two guys that have played perhaps more games in a three-man defense compared to a four-man defense, so there was no issue there. He did start Ronaldo and Kulusevski up top. Obviously, they're still looking for a striker, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But Kulusevski scored the opening goal for Juve in his debut. We know how special this guy is going to be. I mean, that if you watch the Parma-Napoli game, I had commented that Parma are definitely going to miss Kulusevski and what he brings to the table offensively. And obviously, conversely, on the other hand, you know, Juve, he's a huge addition for them offensively. Once you get him, Ronaldo, Dybala all playing together, that certainly will be a fun attack to watch. Ronaldo, he probably could have had three or four goals himself. He ended up getting one. Bonucci had the other goal for Juve, but I know a lot of people were drooling over Kulishevsky, and rightfully so. He played great in his debut. He scored a very nice goal to give him the lead, but I thought it was Aaron Ramsey who really stood out to me. He was all over the field. He kind of played as almost like the Tre Quartista. He played really, really well. He was all over the field for Pirlo. You know, all's good so far for Andrea Pirlo in game one as a coach. It worked out well. But again, they played a Sampdoria side that aren't that good. They don't have too much talent, so you definitely want to see when Juve have to play tougher opponents. They'll have to play at Rome this upcoming weekend. Then in October, the first weekend of October, they'll play against Napoli. So those are certainly two more challenging games that we'll really get to see this Juve team in action against more competitive sides. We'll get to see Pirlo going up against, you know, better teams and whatnot. But, you know, he was going up against Claudio Ranieri, one of the better coaches in Serie A. And he was able to edge them out 3-0. I thought Sampdoria looked a lot better once Quagliarella came on, but I was a little surprised he didn't start. But at that point, it was already kind of out of reach. But yeah, Juve 3-0 winners. Kudos to Pirlo in his win in his coaching debut. Kudos to Kulishevsky for scoring a goal in his Juve debut. So all went well for the Bianconeri as they look to win their 10th consecutive title. And then today, as I'm recording this on Monday evening, we saw Milan beat Bologna 2-0 earlier this afternoon. Ibrahimovic, the ageless wonder that he is, scored two goals, one of those being a penalty. He had a comment afterwards saying that, you know, if he was in his 20s, he probably would have had four goals. But now that he's in his upper 30s, he'll settle for the two goals. You know, he's a gift that gives on the field and off the field. Good win for Milan. Really never felt the threat from Bologna in this game. Good win for Pioli, obviously. You know, they committed to him, giving him an extension, sticking with him. And he certainly is paying off dividends early on. We got to see Brahim Diaz, Sandro Tonali come on and make their official Serie A debuts with Milan. So that was great to see. And I do like, and talking about substitutions, that Serie A is sticking with the 5-player substitution rule this season. So I really like that. I think it allows for more players to get on the field, more creativity, and just to create better potential finishes, getting more fresh legs onto the field, which is great. But Ibrahimovic obviously stole the show with his two goals and his dominant performance. And like he said, he probably could have had four goals. So big win for Milan, but almost similar to what I said for Juve. I do want to see this Milan side playing up against some better opponents. Their next game in Serie A is against Crotone, so they should hopefully handle them. Then they play Spezia. So they have two easy games coming up, so they could easily have 9 points heading into their big clash against Inter in mid-October, so that'll be a fun game to watch. And then they have Roma following up, so they have some tough games after this easy start, but Milan should be aiming to get 9 points out the gate, and if Ibrahimovic is scoring goals and playing the way he did tonight, they shouldn't have any problem with that at all. So something else I wanted to touch upon since the last time I recorded, Parma officially have new owners. Kyle Kraus, an American businessman based out of Iowa, has purchased the club. He's actually a pretty big Calcio fan. He's of Italian descent, I believe Sicilian descent, despite his last name obviously not sounding Italian at all. He has a home in Italy, I read. He travels there a lot. And just the sense that I've gotten from seeing him on social media, videos of him, reading interviews from him and whatnot, it really does sound like he is passionate about this project, that this isn't just like, you know, just something to do because he has the money and he can afford it. It does sound like he's passionate about this project, about building this Parma club up and almost making it feel like a family atmosphere. It was great to see him in the stands, him and his wife. They had a sign, I think, saluting their kids or whatever back in Iowa, which was really cool to see. And I know we've had, you know, Dan Friedkin, another American by Roma recently, Rocco Commisso bought Fiorentina last summer. There's obviously several American ownership groups in Italy now. And I'm not saying that I don't believe in any of those and that they're not all passionate, but I just have this different feeling about Kraus and the project that he wants to embark on at Parma. And what's different about being that owner of Parma compared to the owner of Roma or even Fiorentina is that there's less pressure on him. There's less expectations at Parma compared to in Rome, compared to in Florence. So I think that works to Kraus's benefit. But again, I just have this feeling that he's going to do a great job with this club. And I wish him the best of luck for sure. And it's going to be fun to follow his journey along with this club. He mentioned that, you know, he would be at almost as many games as he possibly could. Again, he was at this game. I think he said he'll be at the next game when they play, I believe, Bologna this upcoming weekend. So, but he also said, you know, I can't be there all the time. I think maybe he said his son or someone I read, will be more the face that will be there more consistently, but he will certainly make his presence felt as much as possible. So really excited to see what he's able to do with this club. I wanted to just cover a few of the latest Mercato rumors. Roma, their pursuit for Milik appears to be off. There seems to be some maybe issues with his knees and whatnot. Dzeko appears to be staying at Roma because all of a sudden the twist that is the Juventus striker carousel search continues, and it appears that Alvaro Morata will now take that position. He landed in Italy a little while ago. Juventus even tweeted out a picture of him. So it seems all but confirmed that he will actually be the striker. So if you think about it, Juve, way early in the summer, even before they fired Maurizio Sarri, was rumored that they were going to get Milik as their striker. Then they shifted to Edin Dzeko once Pirlo took over because Pirlo preferred Dzeko. Then once maybe they felt some had some issues convincing Roma to sell Dzeko, they shifted to Luis Suarez from Barcelona. Then there was the passport issues with Suarez, so they went back to Dzeko. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what complicated the deal this time, but now they've shifted to Alvaro Morata, and he's already on his way in. And maybe by tomorrow, the move will be official. And it seems like Atletico Madrid are going to replace him by bringing in Luis Suarez. So a lot of chaos, but in the end, it's going to be Morata to Juve. Dzeko likely will end up staying at Roma. And who knows what's going to happen with Milik? Will he end up just playing out the final year of his contract at Napoli and perhaps sitting on the bench? And Napoli will lose him on a free transfer? Or will some team maybe Tottenham, him, maybe a PSG? Who knows? These are just some clubs that have been mentioned. Will one of these clubs step up and sign Milik? I'm sure De Laurentiis would love that, as much as, you know, he doesn't want to give the player away for nothing. He also doesn't want to lose him for nothing next summer. So selling him is definitely a priority for Napoli, especially if they end up not selling Koulibaly, which could be a possibility. And Gattuso even said, selfishly, I would love to see Napoli keep Koulibaly. He played really well for Napoli. Did a nice job in his partnership with Manolas. And I know there's been people that have been concerned whether or not Koulibaly or Manolas could work together, but they did great against Parma. Vidal, he's landed in Milan. He's all set to join Inter. That announcement should be official anytime now, probably by the next time the next podcast comes out, that will be official. But that was some of the latest happenings with the Mercato. Vidal to Inter is all but official. Alvaro Morata to Juve is all but official. Dzeko likely to stay at Roma, and Milik, who knows where he's going to wind up. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with him. So that will do it for the 14th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow. And thank you to all those who already have subscribed and continue to listen and support this podcast. A special thank you to my patrons for their extra support. Link to my Patreon site is in my Twitter bio. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.